The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Michael White, and this is Conference Daily, our last of the 2010 season. And after a turbulent week in Birmingham, David Cameron's job in his first conference speech as Prime Minister was to calm his party's nerves and remake the case for his government's tough programme of cuts. Here he is.
Everybody knows this government is undertaking a programme of spending cuts. And I know how anxious people are. Yes, they say, of course we need to cut spending. But do we have to cut now and by this much? Is there another way? I wish there was another way. I wish there was an easier way. But I have to tell you, there is no other responsible way. Back in May, we inherited public finances that can only be described as catastrophic. This year, we will borrow more money than we spend on the National Health Service. Just think about that.
The Prime Minister ran through a list of his government's achievements.
200 new academies, 10,000 university places, 50,000 apprenticeships, corporation tax cut, the jobs tax axed, police targets smashed, immigration capped, the third runway stopped, home information packs dropped, fat cat salaries revealed, ID cards abolished, the NHS protected, our aid promise kept, quangos closing down, ministers' pay coming down, a bank levy coming up, a cancer drugs fund vitally important up and running, £6 billion saved of spending this year, an emergency budget to balance the books in 5 years, an EU referendum lock to protect our sovereign powers every year, and for our pensioners, the earnings links restored, for our entrepreneurs, employees tax reduced, and for our brave, brave armed forces, the operational allowance doubled. Look what we've done in 5 months. Just imagine what we can do in 5 years.
And then he set out his vision for a big society.
Your country needs you. And it takes two. It takes two to build that strong economy. We'll balance the budget, we'll boost enterprise, but you start those businesses that will take us to growth. It takes two to build that big society. We'll reform those public services, we'll devolve that power, but you step forward and seize that opportunity. Don't let the cynics say this is some unachievable, impossible dream that won't work in the selfish 21st century. Tell them people are hungry for it. I know the British people. They are not passengers. They're drivers.
He did manage to find some time for a few jokes.
We should remember where we've come from. Three defeats, 13 party conferences, 4,757 days in the wilderness. And you remember all the things they said about us? They even called us a dead parrot, that we had ceased to be. We were an ex-party. But it does turn out we were actually only resting. And here we are.
Gosh, the dead parrot joke. It's been running for 20 years to my certain knowledge. Well, I'm outside the arena now as the crowds file out, rushing for their trains and cars. How did they think the boss did? Let's hear what Tory activists felt.
I thought that was excellent.
What did you like about it?
I thought he was very positive, and he boosted everybody with what he hoped to do. I agree with most of what he says.
What didn't you agree with?
Possibly the stopping of the fifth runway at Heathrow.
Right, we're standing in the crowd here. I think David Cameron must be coming our way, or perhaps he isn't. There's a lot of cameras here. Let's ask somebody else what they think. Excuse me, what did you think of that?
It's very good, very solid presentation of what the coalition government's agenda is.
What did you like particularly?
Well, I think what I liked was it was very wide-ranging. I think it was demonstrating a commitment and reassuring, effectively, of how a coalition government is setting about to make a fair. And would I say, I think probably most striking thing about it that came out for me was that he'd actually made a sense of national purpose.
I like the whole essence of leadership, the whole sense that he exuded, the confidence that he exuded. These are people you can trust.
I love coalition. Compromise is what we need for the future.
Surprised to find yourself saying, I love coalition?
No, because I've always believed in compromise. We're talking about what Joe Public does in our day-to-day lives. We all have to compromise. That's how our lives work. The only thing I have concerns about is the child benefit.
I thought it was really articulate on the big society message. I think he's very, you know, it's great to see him re-articulating that, not pushing back from it, not giving in on that, because I think it's a really optimistic, very conservative, very positive message. And I actually think he's exactly right when he talks about how the coalition was a win for people power against a status approach. And, you know, that's something I really...
You would a majority government, wouldn't you?
I would have preferred that, but I think that, you know, I was also in Liverpool for the Liberal Democrat conference, and the bond between them is really strong. They really are working together. You know, Danny Alexander and Oliver are on the phone for an hour every night, and I think it's going to work, and they're already doing things.
Anything you didn't like about it? You went, ooh.
Well, I would have liked him to talk more about growth in a slightly more concrete fashion, because I think that they should take ahead on the argument that, you know, there are necessary cuts, but they need to build growth at the same time. I think that they're a little bit on one side saying it's about cuts now and that will save our children. They should also be talking more strongly about how to build growth, I think.
Thank you. I also managed to grab a quick word with a couple of ministers. Here's the Education Secretary, Michael Gove.
I think it was a brilliant speech. I think it was passionate. I think it was patriotic. And I think it connected not just with the audience in the hall, but a thoughtful audience at home. After the last 3 or 4 years, people have thought, who is our Prime Minister? Is he someone that we know can weather a storm and take us through this crisis? Today, this week, we've seen in David Cameron someone who, after the last 3 years, is at last giving the country a clear sense of direction. And I think when we all saw him forging the new coalition government with Nick Clegg, we thought, well, at last someone is putting aside tribal partisanship and governing in the interests of the whole nation. And today what we heard is, to my mind, one of the clearest statements I've ever heard from any politician about his vision of what a better country will look like.
And the university's minister, David Two Brains Willetts. Always a good man to hear from. David, quick two bullet points on what that speech was meant to be about. What's the message all these fired up people are taking home?
That as well as the very tough decisions on public spending that have got to be taken for the 20th of October, there is a vision of how out of this we get reformed public services, we get a stronger economy, we get a better society.
There's a vision rather than a roadmap there. It was exhortatory, very stylishly done. He does it very well, but nobody's actually clear how we're going to unleash the energies of society or reform the public sector, are they?
Well, I think if you look at specific proposals, new proposals this week, like our enterprise allowance scheme for helping people who are currently on benefits to create new businesses of their own, through to long-established ideas like free schools, if you put all that together, there's a lot of specific policy proposals that help deliver the vision.
What's your overall impression of the tone of the conference this week? It seems quite sort of businesslike and grounded. They only let their hair down in there in the last half an hour, didn't they?
Well, it is realistic because of the mess we've inherited. If you compare the situation that we take over now in 2010 with, for example, what Tony Blair had in 1997 from us, with the economy moving forward strongly, with the public finances under control...
You didn't get any credit for that, though, did you?
No, but we...
Politics is unfair. Right.
Well, you know, but the point is that it does mean that now, of course, people are very sober and realistic about the circumstance we've inherited, but I actually think also the coalition government rather changes the mood. A coalition government reduces the amount of partisanship. We're working together with another political party, the two of us, and it does rather change the tone. I personally think it actually changes the tone for the better.
Now, am I right in thinking that this week, as last week and even the week before, that notwithstanding what you've just said, David Cameron laid off Labour a bit by the historic benchmark for, you know, get applause for beating up your opponents. Of course, he had some good laugh lines, but it wasn't as ferocious as it might have been, as tribal as it might have been.
Well,
even Labour is infected by this new, more consensual move.
I think that tribal politics and just bashing up on other parties, I think people have a very limited taste for that. Of course, we're right to remind people of the mess we've inherited from Labour, but David Cameron is the Prime Minister. It is above getting bogged down in arguments about Labour. What he's trying to do is say this is the direction in which this coalition government wishes to take the country. Although there are tough decisions to take, there's also a vision of things getting better. And to be honest, that argument should not be... It doesn't have to be confused and complicated by scoring cheap points about Labour. The simple point about Labour is just the mess they've left us. And after that, we've got to get on with things.
David Willetts there. Now I'm with The Guardian's Martin Kettle, columnist, and with Toby Helm, political editor of The Observer, as the Tory faithful pile out through the door. Martin.
I thought he was placing himself very much above the hurly-burly of bloody politics on the ground, everyday stuff. I mean, we know everything's going to be really hard, already is this week, on child benefit. Tomorrow it'll be the same on public sector pensions. Many big, extremely difficult decisions to come. This was a kind of song to sing through hard times, I think. I think he sort of gave you a tune to whistle in the dark, you know, to make yourself feel it was going to be okay in the end.
I thought he was very cheerful, Toby Helm. I thought that his jokes were good, but more than jokes, that he was sort of humorous about things. You could see him making it up at times during the speech. I sense from your face that you did not.
No, I didn't. I thought it was really rather dull. I thought the jokes were rather flat. And I thought, although he performed reasonably well, which he always does, the arguments were mixed up. They were rather old arguments about the big society. And I kind of just thought he missed his chance to make the point that this is going to be fantastically grim, and but there's a great prize at the end of it. Somehow the structure of the speech didn't get to that kind of crescendo.
He does have a passage, I'm just looking for it, on the deficit. It must be just after halfway through. And he says, after a feel-good passage about a little girl called Neem who sent her tooth fairy money, a pound, to help the deficit. Well, all party leaders make that sort of remark, don't they? And then he talks about the spending and talks about protecting things and blaming Labour for the mess, but it doesn't go very deep, does it? And it doesn't use the word child benefit, I don't think.
It was a brief reference to child benefit, I think you'll find. But he just acknowledges they'd had a bit of a bump on that, and it was difficult to make the case all the time. I mean, I think Toby's right that, I mean, it's actually the purpose of the speech was to make the party feel confident about, you know, what's obviously going to be a hellish time for the government over the next few months and maybe for a couple of years. I mean, you know, they're going to be very unpopular very quickly on some really serious questions. And I think he was trying, whether he succeeded or not, I don't know. We'll see. I think he was trying to make the party feel confident that there is light at the end of the tunnel or whatever image you want to use.
I think that was one cliche he missed. But Toby Helm, it's actually going to be really awful for the next 2 or 3 years, and we have no guarantee that the remedy will work for the British economy, because we've seen Ireland, a much smaller economy admittedly, making drastic cuts, and then the market's saying thanks but no thanks. We don't see how you can grow your way out of all this terrible debt.
Yeah, I didn't think we got that sense of how awful it's going to be. And I think he could have told that story to his own advantage by saying, you know, stick with us, this is going to be bloody difficult, we are the responsible people who are taking this on. And contrast that with the great prize at the end, but it just did not come across, I didn't think.
No, he certainly said all those things, but he didn't say them with a very loud voice. He didn't shout at all, really. It was a conversational sort of speech. Johnny Friedland made the point in his column today, they all sound a bit like Tony Blair now, don't they?
Well, I thought this in some way. The person I was thinking of when I listened to the speech was actually Stanley Baldwin. I thought he was
before our time, wasn't it, Toby?
But you and I, Mike, remember Stanley Baldwin. And I mean, Baldwin's thing was to sort of stand above it and say it's all going to be all right, and I'm very, you know, you can trust me. I'm the person who knows what the answers are, and I know it's awful, but here I am, and I'm a decent sort of four-square solid guy. And I think that's the role he aspires to. I mean, although the Tories say that, you know, they're very sad that Nick Clegg takes all the hits for the coalition, I think they're extremely comfortable that he seems to take them. So, I mean, Cameron, I think, does wish to be rather above the fray.
Toby, he got Afghanistan out of it right at the beginning. The usual stuff, we'll stay with it. We can't retreat. Al-Qaeda will come back. Our soldiers' lives aren't wasted. We'll look after them. That enough on an issue which upsets so many people?
No, I don't think it was. Again, I don't think he touched the right nerve. Somehow that speech looked like it had been thrown together the night before rather than thought through properly. I didn't think it was the speech that looked like it was from a leader who'd been planning it and agonising over it for weeks. I thought it missed all those tricks. But also I thought the ending...
Agony, does it?
No, but the ending was so odd as well. We talked about set up your own business. You know, here we are, you know, approaching the worst possible time in the economic history of the country for decades, and he's telling everybody to give up and go and set up their own business. It didn't work.
The whole week, what have you thought of the week overall?
Bit of a mess, difficult. You know, everything's going to get really serious very soon. And, you know, it was supposed to be quite a happy party conference. I don't think it's been an easy one at all.
Toby?
No, I think they got in a pickle about child benefit and never really recovered. And I think that showed in his speech too. I think, you know, it was very difficult from the start to know how to play this conference. Too much pessimism, too much optimism. What you ended up with in that speech at the end was a sort of mush in the middle somewhere.
I also think it was a kind of political convention, not a party conference. I think we should start calling these party conventions, because all we had were speeches from the platform, like you get in American party conventions. There was no participation, no discussion, no debate, no votes, nothing like that. It wasn't a conference, it was a convention.
There's a column in that. Martin Kettle and Toby Helm there, ending our summary on a slightly disgruntled note, I thought, certainly more disgruntled than me. Obviously, at the end of the conference season, I'm punch drunk, tired, far too easy to please, but fortunately, there's an upside. You won't hear from me on the conference season again this year, maybe next year if we're spared. Back to Westminster on Monday. What have we learned from this conference season? My feeling is that it has been, all of it, rather subdued. And the coalition has changed the parameters of the debate, certainly subdued the sort of partisan tone, the more aggressive elements, I think, in all three-party conferences. They've all pulled their punches. Clegg and Cameron haven't been demonised in the way Mrs Thatcher was at the Labour conference years ago, and vice versa. Cameron quite gentle with the Labour leadership these days. Will it continue when you get back to Westminster, when we get the comprehensive spending review on the 20th of October, and then another divisive issue soon after, the counter-terrorism review and other things which will start to dismantle aspects of Labour's record. Don't forget, there's a new Labour leader in place now. We'll have new shadow ministers eager to prove that they're tough guys and to restore what Charles Clark of The Guardian's fringe debate called the iron law of politics, waiting for ministerial mistakes, cock-ups, events, dear boy, as Macmillan once said when asked what kept him awake at night. Events, dear boy, events. Well, they're piling down the highway now, so we'll keep an eye on them. The producer was Phil Maynard. I'm Michael White. Thank you for listening.